Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. This week on the podcast, I'm terrible at pronouncing names, so I apologize. But Jeremiah Asamoah, I think I got that right. So sorry if I didn't, mate. It's embarrassing. Anyway, Jeremiah is a DJ presenter on Radio 1 Extra and Radio 1. His show is, I believe, Saturday nights, 7 till 11 or 7 till 9 p.m. His show is about electronic music with sound system cultures. And his show is amazing, absolutely amazing. But he's also a super humble guy. I have spoke to him briefly on social media over the last couple of years, and I've always just really liked his realness and kind of his persona that he gives off when you have a conversation with him. So I really wanted to get him on the podcast and just have a general conversation with him, learn a lot about his career and just of him as a person. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. It was really eye-opening and got me feeling good. Got me feeling really good. So, without further ado, Jeremiah Asamoah.
Before we even start, how's your day been, man? Right,
we're starting, man. We can do this we can do this on the podcast. My day's been all right. It's
yeah.
I woke up. I was supposed to be doing 3 podcasts today. I woke up. Frankie Wah got delayed on his flights, so couldn't make the first podcast.
Frankie.
So then I decided to go to the gym and then got nice. Back, baked some bread, which was nice. Yeah. And then did a podcast with Victor Cardone and A-Vision. And now went and ate a slice of bread guy. And now doing a podcast with you, man.
Boom!
How's it,
so cool, bro.
How's it going? How's your day going?
Bro, it's in London. It's now, 6:40?
Yeah.
So, day's been... You know, I've had one of those days today where I've just been chilling because over the weekend I was at the BAFTAs and when you have those full days and you just want a day of like nothing to do. I've had one of those days today, so it's nice.
What do you do? What do you do on your day off though?
I am a massive gamer, bro.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. If there's anything I do, I just put on Spotify, put on a mix, put on a playlist, and just play FIFA. Arsenal to death.
Are you Arsenal to die for?
I'm an Arsenal fan to die for, bro.
You guys are getting destroyed right now, right?
Bro, so bad, man. Like, I don't know how you can spend. I know this isn't a football podcast, but I don't know how you can spend 93% of the season at number one and just last 3 weeks left, you drop to second. Like, yeah, dreadful. But you know what? It's the nature of the game. 1 minute you're up, next minute you're down. Exactly.
Right. If it was all, if everybody won it all the time, it'd be boring.
Bro, it wouldn't even make sense to watch it. It'd just be dead. So, man.
I'm not a football fan. I'm not a football fan.
No?
I fucking can't stand football, man.
Any sports you like?
We can swear on this podcast as well, by the
way. Oh, you can?
So you can swear, yeah.
See, the BBC I know. In me is like, keep it strictly clean. I'm like...
the thing is, you'll probably start swearing on this podcast and then you're going to about to go do a show and you're like...
And then it'll be like...
And then you're like, oh, fuck.
You know what? I've never sworn on radio before, you know?
So I've got a really funny story actually about swearing on radio.
Oh, no.
So it wasn't me. When I used to work in Ibiza, we used to... Have you done Radio 1 in Ibiza yet?
This year is my first year.
Cool. So you will probably meet a guy called Tom Brown. Tom runs the Mambo Studios and kind of is the like relationship between the BBC and Cafe Mambo.
Nice.
I used to work with Tom when I lived in Ibiza, and he's such a nice dude. Like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and has the best story. Like he signed Pete Tong to London Radio. Like,
wow.
Like his stories go back.
Yeah. The CV is CVing.
Yeah. Literally. And he, we had Eric Prydz in the studio and he was doing a live studio thing, and he kept swearing. He kept, but he didn't know he was swearing. Like he said shit and then he said ass and shit like 4 or 5 times. Like they told him he swore. No, he swore, then did like a record break, a music break, and then he came back on and swore again. And he was, because obviously he's not English, he was like, I don't understand, I'm not swearing. But literally, like, oh, I think it was Rachel, one of the producers at the time, and they were literally like all just being like, oh my God, the amount of paperwork that this is going to cause is just unbelievable.
Bro, swearing on radio is like, what is that like? I can't even describe it, bro. It's literally like up there with the highest red card possible.
Which is so weird because the BBC plays, I'm not just talking about the BBC, so I don't want to talk shit on the BBC. I'm talking about all radio.
Yeah.
We all watch, like, I guess the only thing that for me saying the BBC is the only kind of broadcasting platform that also has a TV shows and things like that. But the BBC puts shows out on TV that swear.
Valid. To be fair, the only way, I think there's like after Watershed, after a certain time.
9 p.m.
You can go a bit more cheeky. But even then, when I'm in my car and I hear like a shit and I'm like, oh, is that normal? Yeah. It's like, I mean, being a Christian as well, it kind of makes sense, you know, like I can never have to worry about swearing besides when I'm playing games and pissed off.
Literally. So, I did a mix with a radio station the other day. No, I did a mix for somebody and then I got asked to do a radio show mix for like somewhere in Europe. And we submitted like the same mix I did for somebody else, just like edited it a little bit. And then we sent it off and my manager was like, dude, there's the record with Pussy Pauline in, and she talks in it. Ooh. And it talks about like getting absolutely destroyed by, and I'm like, oh, it's halfway through the mix as well. And we were just like, fuck it. Let's just see if they even listen to it.
No, you did not.
Yes, we did.
Will is one of those DJs that I absolutely hate when they send mixes in. It's like we send a brief, specifically no swearing, no nothing. And then the first thing you hear is like, fuck, shit, pussy. Bro. Did they play it?
I don't know.
Oh,
don't know. And if they did, it's all on them for not listening.
Hilarious.
I just imagine halfway through, like, it's happening. Like, everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? Pool fader's down. Everyone's screwing. Never play World Clock record ever again. But
never.
It's all for the culture, mate. All for the culture.
Bro, there's certain records that I've asked for radio edits, and like the producers are like, you know what, I would love to give you a radio edit, but it just wouldn't make sense for me. And I said, you know what, I respect it. Like,
yeah,
it's your art. I'm not, yeah, like, if you don't want it to be clean, then keep it dirty.
Well, I remember when Eminem came out. Like, how old are you?
25.
Yeah, so you're a bit younger than me, but I take it you remember when Eminem came out.
Yeah,
and like,
of course.
And, like, was, like, had that moment of, like, in British culture where every other word was a swear word in his music.
It was crazy. It was
insane. Yeah. But radio would still play it, obviously, with the radio versions. And it was just sounds like you're hearing, like, a test tone because it's beep.
It's literally, like, it's so funny because it's, like, I feel like people just love uncensored stuff because it's just raw and it's, you know, it's authentic. That's the record. That's the way the record has been made, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess with radio, because you have like kids listening and stuff, it's like, you know, if the radio edit isn't done right, it just sounds horrible. But if it's done right, it's not the end of the world. There's some records I actually prefer the radio edit than...
Really?
But I don't know if that's because I'm a nerd of radio.
Yeah, I guess it's what you're used to as well. If that's the first version you hear of it, then it's
right?
Like, there's actually records that I can't remember, I can't quote them, but where I heard them on radio first, like years ago, and then I heard them on Spotify, and I was like, they never swore in the original, and then I was like, oh wait a minute, they did, but they just gave us a different version.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's
luckily all your songs are like the most keenest versions ever. So I never have to worry about listening to War Clock record and being like, oh, is that wrong?
Yeah. It's weird, right? Because like you hit me up the other day about gospel and being religious and things like that. And like I'm really not religious at all.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about the whole religion and music and how kind of that means, what that means to you.
Yeah. 100%, man.
Go for it. Tell me, did you grow up going to church?
Yeah, man. I grew up going to church and, you know, it was more of like, I'd only go to church because my mum told me, get up at 8 a.m. and we're going to church.
Was it strictly black church or was it mixed?
It was mixed, yeah. I went to a mixed church in Beckenham, which is in South London, called City Gate. And the pastor was like this white guy called Julian, and then the band was like a mixture of like Asians and blacks, just a nice like multicultural church. And I went to church because my mom told me to go to church, and there was this moment in my life where I was going through like a pretty dark path. You know, like everyone has those times in their life where you follow the wrong crowds or you mix with the wrong people. And I just went to church one time and this guy was like, my youth pastor at the time, he was like, oh, you know, like Jesus like is a person that just shows love, and no matter what your past is, no matter what you believe in, just know that he loves you and he's always forgiven. And it was so mad because I was like 15 at the time. And I was like, yo, like the path I'm going down is pretty rough, but if there's someone out there that can just forgive me and never judge me, I'm down to like, and then, yeah, man, like ever since then, bro, I've just been like, you know what? I want to make like, how do I describe it? I want to make as much of my journey about God as possible. And I don't mean it in like a, like forcing religion down anyone's throat. No, but like when you think about like Jesus or God, like it's just a person that just spreads love, you know?
And
it's like just positive people, like positive energy. And I'm like, you know what? That's what I want to do through music. Like I want people when they hear my voice on radio to be like, I can go to Jerry because I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? When I hear Jerry's records, be like, yeah, Jerry's records make me dance, to make me feel happy. Like it's just the way like God and religion has been for me. And I would not be here without if it wasn't for God, like 100%. I know everyone always has like different views about it, but for me, it's like, yeah, man. And I love it when like people like yourself, House Gospel Choir, Floor Plan, like all these amazing individuals who might not be religious or might have been influenced by Christians or like gospel music and just allow the music to do the talking.
Yeah.
Because that's what life's about, man. Like taking influences from other places and just, you know, allowing yourself to appreciate the I don't want to use the word vibrations because
you just did.
I sound like a guru person, but yeah, man, just like let the music take over your body, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I really respect that. And like, I think for me, I've been recently getting asked this question a lot, and it makes sense. My music,
yeah,
a lot of my music is gospel related or somehow religious related, or the titles of my records are religious related, but I don't do that on purpose. It's just like the record says Hallelujah, so I'm going to call it Hallelujah. Yeah. Like, it's I get it asked a lot, and my answer is no, I'm not religious, but I like what religion. I like certain parts of religion, and I like what church is to certain people.
Sure.
Not certain people. I like what certain parts of church is to people.
Yeah.
And
sick.
For me, what we do with what you're doing in with Radio 1 and Radio 1 Extra, like that, for me, that is a part of a community.
Yeah.
You're creating a community with whoever's listening to you, and your community is massive. Like, millions of people listen to you, right? Which is crazy.
Easily. Yeah. But you would never think it.
Yeah. Because it's just you in the studio, you and the producer, or whoever's this in the studio. It's just you. But like, millions of people are listening to you. Like, that to me is a level of, it's a new age church.
Yeah.
And I think there's pros and cons to religion there's pros and cons to everything in life. But again, when people ask me the question, it's like, well, the club is a place where people come and a place where people find community and can escape reality and can be part of something that they're not necessarily part of in their everyday life. And I think for me, that's the whole reason why I do what I do, is to create community and allow people to be in a space where they're safe and where they can just be themselves and also see like-minded people.
Yeah.
Whether my records, and then on top of that, I find gospel music so the epitome of community.
Oh, bro. Literally, like, I feel like where you've said it, it's just, you couldn't describe it any better. Mm. And it's like, you know, like even in the Bible, not to make it into like a church podcast, yeah. But like in the Bible, it's like when three or more are gathered in God's name, like God's there. Mm. And it's almost like everyone creates their own church, you know? And it's up to you to decide what your church represents.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's no such thing as a perfect place.
No.
There is corruption in every room. But it's up to you to just find your people and make your own tribe, make your own community, as you say. Mm. And yeah, it's like, bro, yeah, like your influences in your music and gospel and house music is like the fundamentals in so many house records as well.
Yeah.
Whether people realize it or not. And obviously in soul as well, like a lot of these soul singers and R&B singers, they started off in church.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, yeah, the influence is there in almost every single genre. So
yeah, it's really interesting because obviously living in Detroit now, I don't know if have you been to Detroit before?
No, bro. I'm coming to New York for a second time, America, should I say, for a second time this Sunday.
Oh, really? So, where are you coming?
Yeah. I'm literally just coming out there to like just catch a vibe and just see what New York has to offer, man.
You're going to New York?
Do some sessions, yeah.
Sick, man. I love New York. It's my favorite city in the world.
It's cool.
Man.
It is amazing.
But yeah, in Detroit, there's sorry, I'm keep on digressing. Have you seen the Moody Man Red Bull Academy interview?
Ooh, no, I haven't.
Dude, you have to watch that. It's like quintessential like cult Detroit culture. It's very, you know so many records that have sampled that. Like you've probably played a bunch of records that have sampled that interview. because it's so iconic, but he says this amazing thing that in Detroit, on every street corner, there's a church and a liquor store. And it's so true. Like, it's the gospel church in Detroit is everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And it's just part of the culture of Black Detroit. It's it's very, like, there's literally one, like, a block away.
Down the road. Yeah, literally. So cool.
Like, every Sunday, every Wednesday, especially every Sunday, there's fucking cars everywhere. There's everywhere. and everyone wearing their best clothes and from all generations. It's a beautiful thing. And I know there's, like, a huge thing on religion where the whole preachiness gets involved and the whole pushing down people's throats. And I think that's where it puts people off. But I think in the grand scheme of things, religion is community, and we need community. And in a world where everything's so disconnected yet connected.
Yeah.
Like, we have our phones here. I could literally speak to anybody in the world with my phone. But there's also something that's like, there's no, like, now. There's no, like, here and now and living in the moment. It's like, when we're living in the moment, we're still on our phones connecting to other people around the world. It's like this conversation. We're not on our phones. This is probably the only time that you and I know I do this podcast on a regular, but, like, where you and I are going to have a conversation with no distractions.
Yeah.
And it's like, facts. We need this. People need connection with people in the here and now. And I think by what you're doing and what I'm doing as well, is just allowing people to have that connection to other people.
100%. And you know what? There's, like, even on a One Extra, right? We do once a year on Christmas Day, we do a gospel show. And it's like, I had this message come in about 3 months ago, and it really hit me. And it was like, the person said to one of the producers, they said, "I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. But Jeremiah's gospel Christmas show saved me from killing myself."
Wow.
And it's not even, and I've had messages from people saying, like, oh, like, even during COVID, like, it wasn't even like a gospel show, just a normal show. Someone's like, "Yo, I can't lie, like, your Friday night show helps me get through, like, this really tough time in my life." Mm. And it's beautiful that, you know, your podcast or my radio show, there's different outlets that people can go to feel like they're not alone.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people in this world who are genuinely alone.
Yeah.
But the fact that they have someone who they can literally connect with through an outlet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the beauty of life, man.
I totally agree. I actually read something. I'm going to pull it up. I read something this morning. I actually posted it on my story. But it's a really beautiful thing that I think I'd like to get into it with you. But it says, "Your art may not be displayed in museums. Your photos may not be published anywhere. Your music may not be played on radio, but there will always be people who will appreciate your works patiently waiting. So please, please continue."
Beautiful.
And I think we live in this world at this moment in time where, as artists, as presenters, as DJs, everything is like, data is so ready available that we can go, "Oh, this is performing, this isn't performing." And I think we've always done it, but I think right now is on another level of, like, "Oh, my Instagram only got 500 likes. Oh, my stream only got 10,000 streams. Oh, my podcast only got 1,000 downloads. Oh, my radio show only got 250,000 listeners compared to 1 million listeners." Like, how do you deal with that?
I think it's easier said than done to not look and compare yourself instantly. But because we live in a world which is filled with social media, and, like you say, data and numbers, the first thing you do is compare, you know? And it's very hard to just believe in yourself. You know, when I started radio, I was 15.
Wow.
I said to myself, you know what? I tried to play football. I tried to do this, but this is the one thing I'm never going to give up on.
Mm.
Whether it takes me 50 years or until the last day I'm alive, I'm never going to give up on this dream because this is what I want. And I feel like it's so cliche, yeah, but just having a single supporter who is a complete stranger is better than having a million who never really engage with you.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because it's like, I know an artist, I won't mention their name because I don't think they would appreciate this, but it's like, one time they was having a conversation and I was like, oh, like, how do you feel like music's going? I'm like, oh, like, I feel like you could be doing more. He says to me, you know what, Jerry, I can't lie to you. I'm so happy with where I am.
Wow.
He's like, music might not be paying for my rent, my accommodation, wherever it is, but I have a small community of 50 people that always turn up to my shows, always buy my tickets, always like, they're always the first to do this. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? That for me is more than enough.
Yeah.
It's me. I might never make it to a Glastonbury stage.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that I have a stage that I can still perform. And I said, you know what? That was a real eye opener. Mm. And I feel like we just need to, people need to get into that mind frame of like, you know, you have a vision, you have a dream. Whether your dream is to play a main stage at a Shwaya or, you know, have your own residency at High, yeah, wherever it is, you know? Like, I think it's just about a matter of taking small steps, because every small step is a big step,
yeah,
you know? And if you... I remember I had this mentor called Gavin, right? He just says to me, Jerry, like, you just have to appreciate every moment in life, mm, you know? Because there's some days we might just never be here again.
Yeah.
So why live in regret? Why just not just appreciate the journey and the process?
It's a really hard thing, isn't it? Because
it's so hard.
I struggle with that. Like I'll be honest. Like me right now, this week. Obviously, when this comes out, it won't be this week. Like I've had two really like fucking flat weeks. Like really flat weeks. Like the weeks before I was on top of this world.
Yeah.
And if I really like, that is the joys of life. Everyone goes through that, right? Everyone has that. Yeah. But I think in a world for me, and I can only talk from the eyes, like for me, it's really more so about, I allow external things control my feelings, or I decide how to respond to those external things, and I allow those things to control my to control my feelings and to kind of bring me down. And a lot of that is, but purely based on my career.
Yeah.
And from the outside, everyone looking in will think my career is on the top of the world. And if I ask myself 10 years ago, if I was where I'm at now, that I'm like, how do you think you'd feel? And then I would say, well, I feel pretty low about it. I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Will? Like,
yeah,
you're doing everything you ever dreamed of for. But I think there's also that thing, which in me is like, is that it's almost a greed. And yeah, but it's also, I want to be the best, and it's not be the best to prove it to anybody else. It's be the best because I know I can be the best and I need to prove it to myself.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
100%, bro. But I remember seeing this tweet from like DVBBS.
Yeah.
Back in that 2014, I think I was in school, yeah. And I was literally having the same anxiety one time. I was like, oh, how come this person has this and I don't have this? And they said, literally, I never forget to the day I die. It says, it's not about how far you've got to go. It's about how far you've come. And I feel like if we all just appreciate just like how far we've come, like the small things of being able to be like, all right, music has been able to pay for my petrol.
Yeah.
My rent.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we would actually appreciate where we are now even more.
Yeah.
And not to get it twisted, like you say, like, You're in an amazing position, bro, and well done. Like, you know, DJing and playing along some incredible artists, you know, and like just being able to tour the world. Like, some people would just dream to have that, but like, you know, it's clear that no matter how big you get in your career, we're always gonna have some sort of anxiety.
Yeah,
but it's just about how we channel that anxiety and make it a positive look.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough.
Oh, it's inevitable. Like, everyone's going to feel it.
Yeah.
Everyone. But it's just a matter about, you know, how we can control it, you know? And sometimes the best way to control it is just speaking to people.
Yeah.
You know, having that church, having that community that you go to, where it's like, bro, how are you feeling about this? Like, do you feel the same way? Yeah, great. If not, then, you know, you might find a balance, be like, bro, maybe I was just overreacting.
Yeah.
Maybe I was overthinking. Yeah, I'm actually doing really well for myself, you know? Yeah, I've been able to, you know, have a radio play today.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing one thing better than somebody else.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like even that comparison there, like, you're always comparing.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
But it's life, you know? it's like, you can't avoid it.
And it's easy to like be like, oh, comparison is a thief of joy and blah, blah, blah. And it's easy to sit on your high horse and tell people to go like, just enjoy it, blah, 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 blah. And it's so true. You have to do all of those things. But to actually do it when you're in the moment of the like the dark days, it's fucking rough.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And it's absolute bullshit.
It's like telling your mate to ditch his girlfriend when you all, when all of your mates are going like, mate, ditch your girlfriend, she needs to go, or ditch your boyfriend, he needs to go. They don't realize until they actually do it. And they're like, guys, you were so right.
Bro, you know, there's so many toxic traits, yeah, that we have as creatives that we just don't let go. Mm. And I guess, like, this one's quite an interesting one, yeah, is because, like, sometimes people, like, confuse not having opportunities with laziness, where it's like, oh, like, I should be here right now, but I'm not. But really and truly, are you putting enough work to be there?
That's a deep one, because I can relate to that.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I relate to it on another level, where it's, I always think I'm lazy.
Yeah.
But I know that I work harder than anybody in the room.
Facts.
But I still think I'm fucking lazy.
But the kind of lazy, the kind of lazy you have is like, it's not bad lazy, but I'm talking about the people who are like genuinely like lazy. They're feeling, I have a friend, and I won't mention his name because I love him to bits.
Throw him under the bus. Fuck it.
I have just call out his fucking name. Innit?
Yeah.
But I love him to bits. One of my closest friends, and I'm sure when he hears this, he knows exactly who he is. But we've had this conversation so many times. He's had one of the biggest opportunities like anyone could dream of.
Yeah.
You know, in radio, he had his moment. It's about taking using that moment and leveraging it, you know, like do more stuff, like go to different rooms. But he just took a backseat.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, come on. Like, you've worked 13 years of your life for this one moment.
Yeah.
Don't get complacent now.
Yeah.
You know? And now he's not doing radio at all. He's not DJing. And he knows that he only has himself to blame, you know?
100%. But I think there's also a level of awareness, self-awareness, when you can turn around and be like, it's only me. I can only blame myself.
Yeah.
The thing I struggle with is when somebody blames everybody else around them
but doesn't
look at themselves.
Yeah. But that's why, like, you need that community, you know?
To tell you.
It's like, you need those real people that are going to tell you. And like you used the example of, like, you know, having those friends around you saying, get rid of that toxic person.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you need to get rid of a toxic person in yourself.
Yeah.
Whether that toxic trait being laziness or, like, being complacent or, like, comparing yourself to other people. Like, it happens so much in every industry. And, even in radio, like, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and it's like, on the BBC or Radio 1, for example, like, I don't know, there's 24 hours in a day, probably about 15, 20 presenters on a network. But in a country which has over 2,000 plus aspiring radio presenters, you do not have a second to be complacent or lazy. Because the same way you got there is the same way you can just go like that.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure you appreciate every moment you get, man.
Mm. And work hard at it. Work hard.
Work.
The harder you work and the more results you get. And Charlie T, I'm really good friends with Charlie T.
Yeah.
And I've known Charlie... She had just started at Kiss when I first met Charlie. And her goal was always Radio 1. Always.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, I literally, when she left KISS, she didn't have Radio 1. And she left KISS and she was, like, meeting with people at the Beeb. And she called me and was like, mate, I think I'm just going to get a real job. Wow. And I'm just like, T, like, you've worked your ass off so, so hard. I've seen you do all these little things that have got you to where you got. Give yourself like 3 more months. Just 3 more months, 4 more months, 5, 6 more months if it's going to take 6 more months. Just keep going. Keep like hustling. Just meet ends by just to pay your rent.
Yeah.
Radio 1 came along.
Right.
It eventually happens. If you're willing to put the hours in, it will eventually happen. Simple. How did it start for you?
How did it start with me?
Yeah, how did radio? How did you get into radio?
Oof. So when I was, I don't really tell people this part of my life too much because I always wanted to save it for like a...
For now.
Now. This is the moment. This is the moment I've been waiting for. But it sounds very like self-indulgent and I hope this doesn't come across like this, but I always wanted to make a movie about myself, like not in like a cocky way.
What a wanker!
I sound like an absolute prick right now. But like, I mean, if fucking Zac Efron can do it, then so surely
exactly.
But no, like I got kicked out of my house when I was just mixing around with the wrong crowds.
Sorry, I want to stop there. Before we go into this, who would play you in the movie? Who would play you in the movie?
Well, first of all, they got to be black.
Yeah, I'm definitely not playing you, mate. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I got no hair.
Yeah. I mean, the only worst... You know what? I've gotten Daniel Kaluuya before, you know?
Really?
I don't know how we look alike, but someone just saw two black guys in the hair. He's like, yeah.
It was probably a white. It's probably a white dude that said it, right?
Right. I probably was.
All right, carry on with the story. Let's go.
But yeah, so I got kicked out of my house when I was like 15 and I went to live with my dad for a bit. I didn't really have a relationship with my dad. And whilst I was alone, right, I just slept in the living room on the couch and like had no phone, like everything got confiscated away from me. And I just used to wake up early, just turn on the radio because it was the only thing that I saw on TV besides... Yeah. The explicit channels when I was a kid, as you do. And every morning I used to put on like KISS Breakfast and Early Breakfast with Clara Amfo. And she was like, oh, message us if you want to shout out. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm not going to fall for this scam where you message people and they shout you up. But I was like, you know what? It's not my phone. It's not my money. I'm going to use my dad's phone. So I messaged Clara and then she shouted me out. And I was like, wait, what? And it was crazy because... In a time in my life where I had no friends, like I wasn't allowed to go back to my mom's house. Like all my family didn't speak to me for a bit. The only person I had was a complete stranger.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? The way Clara Amfo and like I used to listen to KISS regularly. So like Clara Amfo, then AJ King, and then Charlie Hedges, like all these people. I was like, it's crazy how I've made friends through the radio and they don't even know me. They're not even judging me. They're just showing me love. Mm. And I was like, that's what I want to do for someone one day.
Yeah.
Like, I was on my mood board from when I was 16. I said, one day I want to have a radio show at 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday and Saturdays. Like, just have that party show. And I was like, that's what I want to do for people. I want people to hear my voice and be like, you know what? That's a guy who I listen to. He makes me smile. He makes me dance. He puts me into new music. But most importantly, he makes me dance. And then, like I said earlier on, I was like, I've tried to do everything, but I'm not going to give up on radio. And then I remember seeing DJ EZ do a boiler room. It's a really small one. Where he's got, everyone remembers it. But he was at Pitch Bend.
Yeah.
He had that song, Bump and Flick, something like that. Baby, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like, what is this? Went to my first festival that same year. I joined Represent and I snuck into the festival, got fake ID. I remember seeing Shift Key And this was a time where he had like, what songs was it like? I Know. Yeah, he was like in the charts kind of vibe.
It's when he got big.
Yeah, like this was like the peak of Shifty. And I was like, this is crazy. I hear this guy on Kiss every day and I'm seeing him at a festival.
Yeah.
And then I came across like a Carl Cox set in Ibiza. I think he was wearing like a white t-shirt. Everyone knows it. It's a classic set. And he was playing Nine Toes and Spinder in it. And I was like, whoa. And then from those moments, I was like, I've picked like three people that I love.
Yeah.
EZ, Clora Amfo, with a bit of like Shifty in there. I was like, okay, how can I make this into me? But I didn't really find the point to make it into me. Then I went to Carnival. Did the most unchristian thing ever, but who cares? We're all human beings. I was dancing with girls. I was drinking alcohol. And bear in mind, this is the virgin life of me, right?
Yeah.
And you dancing with a girl is like having sex. I'm like, fucking hell. This is amazing. Then I was like, how can I combine like sound system music with like my love of like house music and radio? And I was like, that's it. Like, let's try to find a way we can blend those like Carnival sounds with like those big like house and big drums, but also represent that on radio. And that was it for me, bro. And I know it's a quite long answer, but
that's great.
That's when, and I had this phase when I was at One Extra, I got the residency. Big shout out to Toddler Team, man. That was like my guy. Earlier on, people were saying that, oh, Jerry's like a little EZ, because all I was doing was like watching EZ videos and trying to be EZ, you know? And then I got onto One Extra and it was a residency. I had 6 months to show them that I'm big enough for a show. And only two people out of four of us got a show. And I think I was 17 at the time. And I was so disappointed. Like I was like crying. I was like, man, I've literally worked 2.5-3 years for this.
Yeah.
Why has it not worked out for me? Mm. You know?
So you didn't get a show?
No, I didn't get a show.
Yeah.
And I remember Gavin Douglas, who caught so many DJs on One Extra on Radio 1, he said to me, Jerry, what is one thing you can wake up every morning and do it? And no matter how much it stresses you, no matter how much you feel down, when you get to that job, or like you feel happy. And I was like, it's radio and DJing and making music. He said to me, well, if that's the case, don't give up.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. And like similar with Charlie T, 6 months later, I got a show on One Extra. I was the youngest DJ to ever have a show on the BBC.
Wow.
And I've been there for the last, 5-6 years now?
What was your first show?
My first show was a cover show.
Mm.
I was covering Mim Shake. It was a breakfast show. But I was just doing it because that was the only way in, you know? And it was so funny because it was like a full circle moment, because I got my first Radio 1 show taken over Toddler T, who was the person who gave me my first ever festival booking at Glastonbury. And I feel like in life, you know, with musicians and creatives in general, there comes a stage where, you know, you realize that it's time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, like big slits DJs like Annie Mack, you know,
mm-hmm.
who have like paved the way for so many incredible women, so many incredible just like broadcasters to like just taste their dreams.
Yeah.
But there comes a point in everyone's life where they realize, you know what, now it's time for me to pursue or do something else, or open the door for somebody else. And then I met some people who were the complete opposite. You'd ask them for advice, but they wouldn't give it to you, or they'd give you like the short end of the stick, you know? But Toddler T was the complete opposite. So when Toddler left, Toddler actually suggested that I covered his show whilst he was gone. And then Radio 1 said to me, it's not going to be a full-time show, but just enjoy the time whilst you have.
Totally.
Kept on doing it. They gave me that slot. I was like, fucking hell. This is mad. And then after that, like I said, influenced by sound system culture and electronic music, Major Lazer, just incredible. Talk about Diplo, Wushfire, the whole gang. It's just like out of this world. And then Diplo left Radio 1 because he knew it was time for him to go. And they put me where Diplo used to be. And it was just so like, fuck it. It's so mad because I've started this journey and been inspired by all these different people.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that, you know, not say I'm taking over, but it's like they see the vision I'm going down.
Yeah.
And yeah, now we're here going from 11 o'clock on a Saturday night now to 7 o'clock. And, you know, I mean, you tell 15-year-old Jerry that 10 years down the line, you'll be doing Saturday nights on Radio 1 on the biggest station in Europe playing sound system music.
Biggest station in the world. I don't care what. Right. I don't care what. Anyway, it might not be the biggest listenership in the world, but it's the biggest culturally radio station in the world.
You go to anywhere in the world, you mention those three letters, BBC. They either think you're talking about the size of my cock.
Or and we know it's not that. So yeah.
Cheers, right? Cheers. Or the actual building. So it's like, yeah, man. Like it's the perfect double meaning I could ever ask for, bro. I hope that is my job for saying that now.
Oh dear. Yeah, you're gonna lose the job now. It's game over.
Yeah, right.
No, it's like man, it's amazing. It's a crazy journey. And it's all happened in 10 years.
In 10 years.
And
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The thing that I like is that it feels like you'll do the same to somebody else.
100%, bro. 100%. And the fact that, you know, like, the fact that I'm still young.
Yeah.
And
so
age,
young.
Age has...
Dude, bro, so age. Young. Like, 25 and have the most iconic show on Radio 1 and Radio 1 Extra on a Saturday night.
It's crazy. it is crazy. But it's like... You know, I'm so thankful that I've had people like Todd Lettie around me, people like Annie Mac and just so many more, like even Mr. Jam, he helped me out, like always let me do mixes on the show when I first started out, like 16. And it's like, it's shown me that in the industry, there are a lot of bullshit. You're always going to get some absolute cunts, bro. Yeah. Like, but in the same breath, you're always going to get some pure gems.
Yeah.
And my life, is all for me is always about being almost like being that church we started talking about, you know, having that place where you go to and you don't feel judged, you feel loved. Yeah. You can ask any question from a complete stranger and they give you time. I get DMs from absolute like people with like one follower and I'm like, and I will put my hand up because no one is perfect besides God. Yeah. And there's sometimes I see DMs, I'm like, can't be asked today.
Yeah, yeah.
Genuinely speaking, oh, I'm too stressed or I'm tired.
Mm.
But then there's sometimes I'm like, you know what? Hold on, be humble, because there was a stage where you were DMing all these DJs like Clara Amphor asking for advice and they gave you advice when you had a stock photo and 30 followers.
Yeah.
You know? And so I messaged one guy and some guy messaged me and I was like, bro, I never thought you'd message me back. I really appreciate this. And you know what? That is what life is about. 100%. Yeah. Like, When I get the opportunity to even do it more than I'm already doing, I want to give back. Yeah, you know?
It's so because important. It's so important to give back, and it's in a selfish way. It's by helping other people helps you in the grand scheme of things. Like I'm sure you have it on a regular occasion. You probably have it every single week where you play somebody's record, and they are so appreciative of that support.
100%. And you know what? It's really in the last couple of years of being on Radio 1, it's shown me that, you know what, like, there are artists that will always be appreciative of who you are,
yeah,
and what you do for them. And it's important to stick to those kind of people, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I don't think we should ever be complacent. We should never not be great. We should always show gratitude where we can.
Well, I think it's also, like, it's very easy, and I'm kind of coming from the artist point of view, right? It's, there can become a point where you expect, as an artist, the expectation. And until you, as an artist, sit back and really... I did it with Danny Howard the other day. I had him on the podcast, yeah, actually, but I was talking to my team and I was like, why are we not getting a Danny Howard play on this record? Like, why?
Yeah.
And then I listened to Danny's show, because being in America, it's hard for me to kind of keep up on everyone's shows.
For sure.
But I was in the UK and I was driving back from London and listening to Danny's show, and I was like, I get why I'm not getting a Danny show a play, because the music he's playing is not my music, and I have to respect that it's his show and he has parameters with what the BBC want him to do that he has to reach out to a certain audience. It makes sense why my records don't get played there, or certain records that. The record that we were talking about,
yeah,
and I think there's a level of for artists is that it's like when somebody plays your record on radio, like they get sent thousands of records every single week, and then they play your record and they chose your record, like to play to thousands of people, to play to millions of people. And they're putting you on a platform that you can't get to on a regular basis. It's just unbelievable when that happens. And I think it's very easy to get complacent and expect it. But when you sit back and really think about it, you have to be very appreciative of it. Very appreciative of it.
100%.
Mate, it's like the other day, you played two of my records back to back. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Well,
this is gross behavior.
My manager is going to kill me because she always tells me, Jerry, play one artist, one artist only during one show. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. But no, but it's like, you know, like, just, I feel like life is always about context, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you do things and you got to, like, if someone says to you, why did you play two War Clock records in one show?
Yeah.
But everyone else had one play. Like, all right, well, I can justify it because, you know, that was Easter weekend.
Yeah.
And I'd done an electronic music inspired by gospel vocals.
Totally.
And
yeah.
One of the classics, which I love, and then also the brand new one called
Father. Yeah.
That would have been embarrassing if I forgot that.
That'd have been great.
But that's what it's all about. It's always about, like, you know, doing things that make sense. And like you say, like, I think so many artists don't actually listen to radio.
Yeah.
You know, they just get a radio plug out and expect them to do the job for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's so much more appreciative when you listen to radio for a bit or a show, like Pete Tong.
Yeah,
come on, to get a Pete Tong play, no matter how much people say radio is dying, radio will never die, and neither will Pete Tong. I mean, we all die one day, literally, like, when you talk about radio, when you talk about dance music, like, and like the height of heights, Pete Tong still being there, having the essential mix and all of these things, like, it is a blessing to get a Pete Tong play.
Yeah.
Like, you should never take it for granted. That's why on the One Extra Rave show, when I WhatsApp Pete and I was like, Pete, do you mind if I get like a voice note from you to like pick a record about a record that's influenced you from like black dance culture? I thought I was gonna get air because
it's Pete Tong. Yeah.
Just because I work with him doesn't mean I'm entitled to a message back from him.
Of course.
But he messaged back and he sent me a voice note. And I was just like, you know what? Thank you. Because even though you've always been Pete Tong, you still have time to just show love to your colleagues. And I'll be real, might not happen at BBC, but I'm sure there's other stations where not everyone gets along. I mean, it happens in every workplace, you know?
Yeah.
But there's still to this day so many artists who are appreciative of a Pete Tong play, a Danny Howard play, a Sarah Story play, like a radio play.
Well, even going back to that Pete story, it goes to show what he does it for, right? It goes to show why we do what we do for. It's like, he doesn't need to do that. Like, come on.
Because I work with him doesn't mean that he has to, like, send me a voice note and pick a record for my show.
It's not at all. But, because he obviously respects your show, but he also has that love for fucking music, man. Like, that's why we're all doing this. We're not doing this for anything else. We're not doing this for bank balance. We would all be bankers if we wanted to be rich. Like,
100%.
We're not doing this. It's all about fucking just great music. And we will have that record. We will if you ask me for something, I'd be able to give you a record. I'd be able to give you something that's like a moment in my life that I can remember that. And that's the most beautiful thing about it all.
100%. And just to add to that, I feel like it's so much easier said for us right now, who are in positions like the way we are, you know?
Yeah.
But for someone who might hear this and might not be able to get that message or get that response from a certain individual, cliche, just keep going. Keep going.
Totally.
Because the amount of, there's going to be one door that you knock where that person is like, you know what? I remember where I came from. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to give them feedback.
Yeah.
You know? People have given me feedback that I don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
But they've just shown me so much love.
Yeah.
From one encounter. You know? And yeah, man, that's just the beauty of life is just not to never give up, right?
Yeah, and I think it's like, the harder you try and the more you try, the more likely the opportunity is going to arise. Like, if you try sending a DM or sending a record to somebody or reaching out to somebody and you do it once a year, it's never going to fucking work. It's probably, someone's probably going to be like, yeah, go on then. I feel sorry for this person. I'm going to fucking just do it. And that is it. That is purely fact.
Bro, who cares if someone thinks you're a beg?
Yeah.
You got what you wanted.
I've sent Pete so many records personally. On another level of times.
Harassment.
I've emailed him going, hey, Pete, here's my new record. Here's my new record. Here's my new record. The only time I've actually got plays from Pete is through a radio plugger, really. However, Father, my last record, I sent it to Pete and Pete was like, this is really good. Thanks, Will. I really enjoy it. That was like, I might as well have just print that out and put it on my fucking wall because, I've had Essential New Tunes. I've had interviews with Pete, or not interviews, but like the, when you do like voice notes and stuff like that and for my Club Paradise and things like that. Like, I've done all of that. But like, I've met Pete. We have a very small relationship to a certain extent. But when somebody of that stature that I grew up listening to my whole life, those people are so special to me personally, and I'm sure the same for you. And we all have these people that we put on a pedestal, but realistically they still shit out the same hole, and eventually it will come round, and eventually they will acknowledge who you are.
Just trust the process.
Yeah.
And it's so mad because, like, not to make this podcast feel like it isn't it, because I always find a reason to dumb myself down or not give myself credit, right? But if you really took every single podcast out there that just talks about music, talks about life, talks about someone's early journey, it all has the same fucking formula.
Of course.
Bro. Like, really and truly, I listen to one podcast and that's it. I'm done.
Yeah,
totally. I'm sorted. But we just need to hear it over and over again until it's installed in us. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
It's just so basic, you know? Like, you humbled yourself to keep on sending records, no matter how big of an artist you are.
Yeah.
Because you know how appreciative you are of a play.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, and it's like, you always have to be humble. And even when you start to feel entitled, give yourself that reality check.
That's the moment where it's like, the biggest thing for me is when you get to that level and it's like, I deserve this. You deserve fucking nothing.
Yeah. Well, fuck's sake, guys. It sounds so mad when you say that.
It's true.
But I disagree, you know?
I don't know. Why do you disagree? Tell me, and then I'll tell you why I
believe. Because there's like, because when there's certain things like, okay, even though my manager thinks this is a waste of money, I got myself a nice little first car. Yeah.
Sick. What'd you get?
It's got a little A-class, Mercedes. Sick. It's cool. I like it. It's got like some roof. It comes off, whatever. It's great.
Did it come with a hairdresser at the same time?
I fucking wish it did. I wish it did. But you know, like,
congrats. Sometimes that's a great. That's cool, man. That's cool.
And I got myself my first. I've had it for like 2-3 years now, but I got a music studio.
Amazing.
And you know, I start up in a small room, and then you know how it goes. You're great. You get a nice sound system. They had an audio, blah blah blah, right? Yeah. There. And sometimes I just walk into my car, very rarely, or where it does happen, I'm like, shit, man, I really, really came from nothing.
Yeah.
And I have something. Or I walk into my studio, I'm like, fuck, I pay rent on this and like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
No? Like, as much as it is to say you don't deserve it, bro, we all come from, well, not all of us. Some of us have very lucky upbringings where their parents are mint from the get-go. But
does that make them lucky, though? Because I can guarantee you, like, there's people that have extremely wealthy parents, but do they get love?
Bars, bro, bars. I hear it. But sometimes I guess love is such a crazy word, because it's like, what do you define as like? Like, what is it do you define as love? Like, love for me, going back to like what gospel music and what God means, like, love is unconditional.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it never judges you for what path you take down. It loves you for who you are.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you've had that upbringing of, you know, just luxury from the get-go.
Yeah.
Your love is rooted in money.
Yeah.
And we all know, well, Bible says the love of money is the root to all evil, you know? And it's like, so I got a bit sidetracked because we were talking about...
You're talking about love. Being deserved, like having...
Yeah.
Like deserving what you've got.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, you know, you start from nothing and you have something. And just because you have money doesn't mean you're always going to get there any quicker.
Yeah.
But you know how it works, man. If you listen, like, it took me 6 months to buy my first ever decks.
Yeah.
And that's 6 months of me doing paper round at like £5 a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, wherever the maths is.
Yeah.
Whereas if my parents were just minted from the get-go, Mum, I want a pair of Pioneers. All right, here you go. Or...
Would you value it as much, though?
You wouldn't.
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's like... I hear what you're saying. I think what you're saying is when you work hard for something, you deserve it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I totally agree with that. I think what I was saying with I don't deserve the acknowledgement from somebody higher up in the industry to me, or somebody that I look up to, in a way where it's like, you don't have to give me your time. Like, your time is, you owe me nothing. Like, you as who you are owes me nothing. You, like, just like you don't ever have to play my records. Like, the fact that you choose to play my records is an amazing thing for me, and I'm very appreciative of it, but you don't have to. So it's like, I don't deserve that. I can work all hours of the day. I can make the best music possible. you still have a choice to play somebody's records. And that's kind of what I meant by the whole deserve for me as the artist.
I think it's so funny coming from an artist perspective and a radio broadcaster perspective.
Yeah.
Because everyone I play on radio, I genuinely believe they deserve to be played on radio.
Yeah.
They deserve it because their music speaks for them as a person, you know? The journey in their record tells me a story of where that record was made or what it's inspired by. Like Father, Can You Hear Me? Like when I heard that song, right? And taking away me being a Christian and inspired by gospel music, like, for me, like, that vocal has so much, like, has so much pain in it. But the production and it also has so much freeness in it. Mm. So it's like a nice contrast of, like, struggling and feeling free. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? That record deserves a play. So it's so interesting hearing it from an artist perspective. And I guess that could also come down to, like, is it imposter syndrome?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Right? And it's like, it's so easy when you're on the receiving end to feel like you don't deserve it.
100%.
But like I said, in that quick narrative of me and my car and my studio, it's like, once again, you put blood, sweat and tears into that studio.
Yeah.
Into that one record. Whether that blood, sweat and tears was 15 minutes of being on flipping weed in the studio and you still created a gem.
Yeah.
That's still your brain. Your heart, your ears, your fingers, or even if you're not producing your own records, but you're there, like, giving someone your idea to help you finish your idea.
Yeah,
that's still your creative process, like, being brought to an art. Like, you deserve
totally
everything you get. But yeah, it's so interesting, the whole, like, imposter syndrome part. Like,
it's real, man.
It's real. Bro,
do you get it in radio?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It's like,
who do you get that around
in terms of, like, imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
When you stand next to people who are just legends, you know, or like, I always, sometimes I struggle to, like, get clear sentences out sometimes. Mm. And when I'm around broadcasters like Pete, or Jordan North, who was on, like, I'm a Celeb, does great stuff on TV.
Yeah.
And they're able to, like, read a script, like, as the, I don't even know what it's called, the auto-cue thing.
Yeah,
it's rolling down and just saying it word for word, but it looks so casual. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I get nervous. I'm like, fuck, like, can I do it? But then I realize, bro, you're here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can do it, but it's like, everyone gets it, you know? But it's like I said, it's a matter of how you channel that energy.
Yeah.
Like, do you allow yourself to crumble? Or even if you do crumble, do you allow yourself to get back up?
Yeah.
Because we all get down. But it's a matter of, like, if you're going to allow that blow to KO you, or you're going to get back up and go to the ninth round and win that fight, you know? But yeah, no, imposter syndrome is real. It is real, but I also have learned that I am never in a position for no reason.
Yeah, I've never even thought of it like that.
Every scenario you enter, good or bad, you were put there, whether you think it's God of the universe, you were put there for a reason.
Yeah.
You know? And two L's make a W.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I didn't get what I wanted to hear, but I learned something here. I learned something about that person. I learned something about this process, you know?
Yeah, it's the journey, right? It's the journey of life. It's a lot of people see it from how we present ourselves to the world with social media and with interviews and things like that. And it seems very straight line. It seems like one long motorway of to the top, whereas a lot of windy roads and a lot of dead ends and a lot of accidents and traffic collisions and all of that and back steps and having to go back around the journey, and kind of, it's not one long road, but each moment takes you to the next part of your journey of careers.
That's why I appreciate every little thing that happens financially, yeah. you know? And sometimes it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because there comes a point where you've got to realize your worth.
Mm.
And my manager always says to me, don't chase the... I don't know what they were saying, but she's like, basically, don't chase the small box, chase the big box.
Yeah.
But in that same breath, be appreciative of what you get and acknowledge where you are in your career.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm never going to come on here and think I am yet, and I say this yet, I'm never going to come on here and think I'm the world's greatest broadcaster yet.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm working towards it. So many of us are, but we're not there yet. So it's also good to be humble. Know where you are. Know where you're working towards and appreciate that journey. Appreciate those L's, you know? Because if you don't appreciate it, the same way you came up is the same way you'll go down.
Yeah. No, man. I totally agree. And I think it's also respecting everybody on the journey up.
Oh, fucking hell. Hey, say that one for people in the back.
Yeah.
I'm never going to mention it, but you just got to show love, bro. Yeah. Got to be humble in life, man.
Yeah. And I think it's also respect other people's feelings. I think what certain people may say is may actually, like, before saying it, it may offend somebody.
And, 100%.
And if you're willing to offend somebody, sometimes you have to say what you have to say. And I totally for sure. respect that. And you're going to offend people. 100%. Oh, for sure. But there's also levels of, like, I don't need to say this.
For sure. And I've always tried to be that good person.
Yeah.
That person that just never has any drama.
Yeah.
Never has any passer. Because once again, if I try and follow what kind of person God was, like, Jesus was never getting into, like, fights, right? Like, Jesus wasn't going around, like, saying beat that shit on social media or like stop doing this, you know what I'm saying?
Are you bringing that up?
No, I'm definitely not bringing that up.
We're not bringing that up.
I'll be in big trouble. But it's just like you know, like just spread out. And there will come a time where you just have to be vocal.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? Sometimes it's a lesson in life for you as well.
Yeah.
As the other person, be like, you know what? Maybe I should be mindful how I support people. Maybe I should be mindful of how I talk about people. But then it's also up to you to, you know, realize that life is about love, you know?
Yeah.
And this is such a hard part, but nobody is perfect. Mm. We all make mistakes.
Totally.
And there's people that I have upset growing up as a kid, even to this day.
Yeah, 100%.
And I put my hands up and be like, you know what? I was absolutely wrong in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And sometimes it might take you a year or 6 months to realize that.
Mm.
But if you don't forgive, who's going to forgive you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why there's like certain situations that people have like obviously treated me not very nicely.
Yeah.
But that's clearly a lesson for them to learn to be like, you know what? Hands up.
Oh, lost you, man.
Hello?
Yo, we're back.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, hands shit. I got hands up.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, as I was saying, it's like sometimes people need to go through a moment in their life where they realize that they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And we can be so caught up in this bubble of just, you know, living our life and going on tour or being on radio and just forgetting that we are all humans before anything else.
Yeah.
You know? We all have feelings, whether it's giving someone feedback on the record, like you should never just go say, yeah, that's fucking shit, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Now I think you can work on it in this way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just about choosing our words, but because before we're creatives, we are all humans.
Yeah.
We all shit. We all piss. We all swear, we all do this, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's why, I just think life is just, it's a beautiful journey, but it's also a roller coaster one.
Totally.
There's no straight road.
Totally.
Mate, but yeah.
Let's end it on that. That was fucking great.
Yeah.
That was great. Right. Dude. I really enjoyed this. I feel like we could keep talking on and on.
For sure.
Like, I want to do that again, do another one in the future.
For sure.
But dude, yeah, like, thank you for everything you do on radio, on what you do outside of radio. Like, people don't realize how much you presenters help the community of music, help artists build careers, help fans find new artists, and just create community in, especially in the UK. Like,
for
the,
sure.
The BBC, Radio 1, One Extra is creating culture, and that is what this is about, and creating community. So I really, really appreciate it. And also, thanks for playing my records. Really appreciate that.
I was going to say, if anyone hears this and they see 6 weeks of War Club from 7 to 9, you know exactly why, bro. You know exactly why.
Oh, I love it, man.
But no, genuinely, bro, like, we've never actually met
in
person before.
No.
And yeah, bro, like, honestly, generally speaking, I'm as you know, I'm very humble, and I appreciate just even, you know, hearing that, because sometimes you just do your work and you just go in there and, you know, you play records, but no one really appreciates it sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think they do, but I think because you're behind a microphone in the studio, you don't hear that.
This is it.
Right.
This is it.
It's like, it's powerful what you guys do. It really is. And I had that when I had Danny on. It's similar, but it's like you're talking to millions of people.
Yeah.
And it's fucking crazy. And then you're about to go do a show. So keep that one in your head, mate. Millions of people, mate.
I'm sure I'll see you hopefully in Ibiza.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, that'd be sick.
I might try to come down to one of your shows.
Do
Don't
it.
Kill me.
Do it. Yeah, come on down. I'm actually in London a bit now. In June, I don't know when this is coming out. So I'll let you know. But In June, I'm in for like a whole week.
Got it.
Let's
might see up in the building.
Maybe. You never know. Mate, thank you so much for coming on. How can people follow you? How can people get involved with the show?
Yes. So in case you can't figure out how to spell my surname, it's easy, but it's Jeremiah Siama. Surname Asia, M-A-H. Literally like the continent Asia, M-A-H. Saturday nights and Friday nights on Radio 1 and One Extra from 7 p.m. Two shows. Consistent of nothing but the best in dance and electronic music, inspired by sound system, and sound system culture, man. Thank you, bro. It's been an absolute honor to do this with you. This is my first, first proper podcast, you know, that I've done in a minute.
Legend, man. I loved it.
So
keep safe.
I appreciate you.
Big love, man.
Love you, brother.
Big love. And, keep safe.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon. And that is a wrap. Big love to everybody that listened. Big love to Jerry for coming on. Really enjoyed that one. Hope you did. Please share it. Please send it to your mates and keep safe. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.